I'm Sonny Fox. Welcome to this week's Foxcast with Lewis Black, who stopped by a couple of years ago for this interview to promote his Stark Raving Black special on Comedy Central and the release of the DVD. And he also talks about his first Lewis Black comedy cruise, which we ended up doing our radio show from for a week, live from the Bahamas, as the ship cruised along. It was quite an experience. And this conversation was, too. And it's typical Lewis Black. Your Stark Raving Black is going to be on Comedy Central.
Yes.
Now, the last time we talked, you were about to do that, to film it. Now, how'd it go? I mean, I know you're going to say great, but...
Of course. No, actually, what was interesting is that... It was one of the few comedy shows where afterwards the blind could see and crippled people could walk. So it was really different. There was a lot of change. A lot of people felt, and after seeing the doctor, said that the genetic structures were actually changed. Because laughter is a cure-all.
Right. Well, in other words,
no, but it went well.
After the show, you had a whole bunch of free wheelchairs, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
They all left. Now, the thing of it is, tomorrow, the one in Comedy Central is going to be Beep, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Beep. But the real deal is coming out on DVD and CD.
That's the one where it's, you know, I mean, that was, that's the thing. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what it looks like on, with the bleeps, because you know that if people actually heard these words... America would come to its knees, and all would be over.
Have you ever thought of going in like you do with some movies and replacing the dirty words with like hamburger and things like that?
I would love to. That's actually a great idea, and it's what I should have done. I mean, I've watched certain friends of mine, you know, like Geraldo. I watched Geraldo's special once, and I was like, on Comedy Central they bleeped it. And I started making up words because I couldn't even figure out what the words... It was worse, I think, in my head than what he was saying.
Right.
But then they can put it on... This is what's unbelievable to me. What's the... 3 hours later, they can put it on and not bleep it. Really? That's the 3 hours?
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is, and I may be wrong, but I don't think so. What people don't realize is the reason they bleep it early is because they don't want to offend their available audience. The fact of the matter is cable TV you subscribe to, they could say fuck all day long.
Right.
Because it's not broadcast over the air, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And children, you know, it's like you're the parent, you can stop the kid from watching. They do it in other countries. We're like the crybabies of the Western world.
That's for sure. I often wonder when we're doing the morning show every day, how many kids, you know, 12-year-olds are out there? Hey, fuck you! Fist fuck her!
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. And you know, they're sneaking around. They're in the house. They listen to it, and it doesn't seem to destroy their lives. You know,
they hear it. You know, and by the time I was 12, I was using the word. You know, it's a word. You know, they're smart enough. You know, they don't. You know, that's not the problem.
Yeah.
Okay, you know they. That because they've learned profanity, you know, they're being injected with 12,000 pounds of sugar and nobody's saying no to them. And there's the list is endless. I should be in education. Why I'm bothering with this profession is beyond me.
Well, I thought didn't you contemplate being a teacher at one time?
I did.
Yeah.
I did before things turned out the way they did.
What's horribly wrong, right?
Yeah.
One of the major ways that President Obama sees us coming out of this economic decline is through alternative energy. And I have been fighting for alternative energy for 40 years, and I will tell you, it's not going to happen. And I know it's not going to happen because everything I wanted a lot of things, and none of them have fucking happened. So I'm pretty sure this isn't going to happen. I'm sure it's not going to happen because we don't seem to get it. You know, one of the first responses to the fact that gas prices was going up was this, hey, I know what we're going to do. We're going to make ethanol. Mm-hmm. And the way we made ethanol was out of corn. Mm-hmm. Okay? Do you want to know when your country, if you want to know when your country, there's no more clearer sign that your country is in the midst of a massive nervous fuck breakdown is when they're turning food into fuel. Food Yummy. Fuel. Oh, Jesus! I can never get that oil down. You don't turn corn into fucking fuel. God damn it. Many congressmen have said people don't eat a lot of corn, and I say, fuck you! I need my niblets, you son of a bitch! Go to the store! Corn's in fucking everything. It's in green beans, for fuck's sake. We're not going to have alternative energy. When they finally raised the requirement of miles per gallon on a car after like 25 years, they finally voted for it. Yeah, now we're going to raise it so that the cars are more fuel efficient. The argument against that was that now the roads will be dangerous. It's going to be dangerous as hell out there. Why? Oh, because the cars will be lighter. So? They're not going to be magnetized, fucker. That's bullshit. It's a bullshit argument. It's nonsense. You know, and that's why it's difficult sometimes to argue with some people. Because they say something like that and you go. They might as well have said, giant Kodiak bears will rule the earth. I started fighting for alternative energy during the first Earth Day, which was 40 years ago. Because Earth Day was created by my generation. It was created by my generation. It's not the Earth Day that exists now when people are wandering around trying to sell compostable nipple clamps. Fuck you. Earth Day was created because we were doing, a lot of drugs. More drugs than you can ever fuck imagine. And so we came up with Earth Day so we'd have one day that would remind us what planet we were living on. I know we can have alternative energy, and I know it because when I was a kid, my president said we were going to get to the moon, and he said we were going to do it in 10 years, and we all thought he was out of his fucking mind because the only fuel that we had to get us there at that point in time was fireworks. Let's strap these sparklers on the back of this Schwinn and push it over the cliff, son of a bitch. Strap a monkey on there, shove a cherry bomb up its ass.
This week we got Lewis Black in the studio. His Stark Raving Black special is finally done. You can get the real version without the beeps on DVD and CD.
Yeah, with also a documentary.
Oh, well, really?
Bonus!
Well, tell us, what's that about? Tell us.
That's about how I'm able to really do all the tricks which allow the cripples to walk in the blind to see. It's got behind the scenes where you see me hire the people. I produced this on my own, and I realized I could do the special and the documentary pretty much for the same kind of price. And
right.
And it was about it's about how I made the transition from theater to doing stand-up.
Really?
You know, it ought to put about two-thirds of the nation. It's a tremendous DVD if you have no interest in theater. it's the kind of thing you can use as a sleep aid. But there's some people who will be interested.
Now, some of the things you've done on video, I was just amusing myself before you arrived. And I was watching Side Splitters, the thing you did with Jim Norton.
Yeah, I was just with Jim it was a funny movie.
Oh, it was a very funny movie. It's about this fictitious, what would you say, vaudeville act?
Yeah, it's a vaudeville act that was so dirty they couldn't make it. Every step of the way they screwed up.
They kept ending up swearing at each other. There's in the film, Jim Gaffigan is the narrator, and I want to play a small clip of this because it's called Buck's Privates. It was one of the movies this fictitious duo did. And what got me was your tribute to the Stooges sound effects guy.
Now, oh, yeah.
You listen to the sound. This is Lewis and Jim walking in, like, picture Laurel and Hardy, basically, into this farmhouse, and this woman is waiting for them to arrive. This is them walking in the room, isn't it?
I'll be there in a minute.
Take your time, Hillary.
Oh, boy. I'm finally going to be alone with Hillary.
Remember why you're here. You're going to help Hillary with the farm to raise potatoes so we can send them to our boys overseas and help the war effort.
Okay. I want to help the boys overseas. I want to do my part for the war effort.
Good. You get to work here and I'll see you later.
Wait a minute. What are you going to do for the war effort?
Read the racing form.
Well, how does that help Uncle Sam?
If I win money, I spend it. And the money I spend goes to the government. And the government is Uncle Sam.
How do I get that job?
Don't be ridiculous.
I love those slaps.
Yeah, those slaps were good. And he's really good. And you know, what's interesting, actually, is Adam Dubin, who directed that, also edited the and worked on the documentary and was the director of the special that we did.
Right. Oh, really?
So I've known him for years now.
You've done some great movies. I mean, I like them anyway. I don't know,
well, good. Thank you.
How they did at the box office or not. But all the things you've done, which one did you enjoy the most?
Probably there were two that go neck and neck, except about the last three I did, Accepted and Unaccompanied Minors and... the one with Robin Williams? For some reason, I keep blanking on the title. Man of the Year.
Right, right.
All of those three each had something. Accepted, I was allowed to really kind of. I played a professor and who was a complete drunk and reprobate, and I could, and they allowed me to just go off.
Yeah.
So he would show me what they wanted from the scene. He'd written a speech, and then we'd do it his way, and then he'd say, "Okay, do it your way." And they kept a lot of what I did, and then. And then I got to work with Robin Williams and the other one with Christopher Walken and this whole phenomenal cast of people, Laura Linney. And I got to improv with Christopher Walken, which was like going to heaven. Once my brain calmed down, because the first time I walked down the set, I'm standing there and it's Christopher Walken and I were supposed to improv the scene and my brain is literally going, "It's Christopher Walken! Are you kidding me? It's Christopher Walken!" And then I realized I had to calm down, that my brain had to shut up so I could actually talk to him.
What caused this economic crisis is greed. It's purely and simply greed. That's where it lies. There is no discussion of that. That's what, we've done over the course of my lifetime. One of the things that my country seems to have done is perfect greed. You think Enron and WorldCom, you thought, wow, can't get any more fucked up than that. Ha 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 ha. Bernie Madoff, that reads like fucking fiction. And if you read it as fiction, you go, well, his last name's Madoff. That's bullshit. You gotta be kidding me. I'm not gonna finish this book. It's greed. There was one of the great financial houses that sunk like the Titanic was run by this guy named Thane. And just before the boat sunk, he gave those who worked in his office bonuses like a month before. Here's a bonus for blowing up the engine room. And he spent $1.5 million just before the whole thing goes to ruin on his office, on redoing his office, redecorating it. Really? $1.5 million? Are you fucking kidding me? If I had $1.5 million to do a financial house's office, if I ran a financial house, which I'm fucking thinking of doing because it's easier than this shit. Yeah, sure, give me that check. Don't worry about a thing. So, I'd have a chair for who I have to talk to, a desk, my chair, and then the rest of the office would be filled with a giant aquarium. And in the aquarium would be a huge white shark. And I would have an intern, very cute, up on a ladder and with chunks of meat and throw it at the shark. And the shark go, and when he finished eating all the meat, the intern would dive in, eat the shark, and then rub my back. How good is that? It'd certainly fuck with the guy sitting in front of me, wouldn't it? So, he spent $63,000 on a credenza. By your silence, I realize none of you know what the fuck that is. And few people do. I'm 60 and no one has ever called me and said, Lou, you must come see my new credenza. Apparently, it's a glorified office file cabinet. I always thought that the credenza were the two bones just above your ass bone. As in, my credenza's acting up, I must see the chiropractor. And if they had a piece of furniture made entirely out of bones, that might be worth $63,000. $87,000 for an area rug. I know what an area rug is. It's a rug that covers an area. If I spend $87,000 on an area rug, that rug should be woven from the pubic hair of virgins. Yes. And I should have a leather-bound book with photos of the women who contributed to my rug. And I would keep that leather-bound book in my credenza.
My guest this week is my hero, Louis Black. And I say hero, Louis, because, as I've told you in interviews before, there's something therapeutic about watching you on stage, because we all want to say, fuck you, to the government, but we just can't do it with your zeal. You know what I'm saying?
No, well, that's nice. It's fun to do.
Before I forget, you mentioned Christopher Walken in the last break.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw this. I wanted to share this with everybody. The 30 Rock last week had an episode, and to make a long story short, this guy did impressions of Gilbert Gottfried and Christopher Walken. And during the show, they actually used Christopher Walken's voice and Gilbert Gottfried and had the guy lip sync it
on
the program instead of having someone actually do their voice.
That's funny.
What is it about Christopher Walken? I mean, what is it? I mean, it's like Edward G. Robinson. What is it when a character becomes bigger than life?
Well, I think it is, he said it's because of he was a dancer originally before he went into acting, and he feels like that gave him his own sense of a rhythmic approach to lines.
Uh-huh.
And they asked him, I just read this morning, they asked him about this, what's the character like? There's a play I just saw, it's about a guy who's got his hand cut off, it's called Be Handing in Spokane, and Christopher Walken has lost his hand, and the director says to him early on in the rehearsal process, how would you describe your character? And he went, I'd say it's Christopher Walken without a hand. And which is perfect, because he's really, I did two or three takes with him on the stuff that they would ask us to improv, and every time he had something more psychotic and different, and he likes being funny.
Yes,
and that he really enjoys that, and I think that's too what he brings to any kind of dramatic role, which actually makes it creepier.
Well, his speech in Pulp Fiction will be a classic piece of film.
Oh my, yeah, he's extraordinary.
Now let me ask you a question. I interview people a lot all my life. Before comedy, it was rock and roll and superstar bands and stuff. And there have been occasions, because I'm a pretty loose guy, that I was uncomfortable. I couldn't help it. I was in the presence of one of my heroes, or the person was too weird. I thought I would offend them. Now, you mentioned Christopher Walken. You were in awe. Who else have you worked with that you had difficulty dealing with? Anybody?
Wow. I'll tell you one of the, just not so much working with, but one of I used to run a club in New York, a theater, a small theater where we did stuff in this basement below a bar. And one of the nights I'm standing there and I would take tickets, and my back was to the line of people, and I turned around and Julie Andrews was there.
Oh.
Now, if you had said to me, you know, what do you think about Julie Andrews? I go, well, you know, she's nice, and, you know, and, you know, would you want to meet her or anything, and what do you think she's like? I would go, you know, I'd be kind of, you know, not really leaping out. I literally turned around, I saw it was Julie Andrews. Her presence was so overwhelming, it knocked me out.
Really?
It was like, yeah, her, you know, that, it was the first time in my life I truly understood star quality.
Wow.
It was like she exuded something way beyond herself. It was like she I turned around and, just, and somebody slapped me, and I went, it's Julie Andrews. And the same thing, when I met Albert Finney, I was like, just for some reason, I couldn't, I was like an idiot.
And so after you recovered from seeing Julie Andrews, did you take her ticket and put her behind a pole?
No, what I did, which was great, was she was in the audience to see her daughter. We were producing a short play by her daughter was directing it, and I would introduce all the plays, and I was just foul-mouthed about it. The introduction went, you know, something effective. You know, if you know somebody on a newspaper and we can get an interview with, you know, if we can get an interview about what we're doing down here, it'd be really great. You know, I'll even blow whoever it is just to get them down here. I said, because I've been in theater all my life, and what's another blowjob? And Julie Andrews was sitting in like the third row and was screaming at the joke, and that made my... But it turns out she's got a worse mouth than I do. Yeah. She's got a mouth like a sailor, which is spectacular. Right.
The amazing thing is that no one, not one leader talked about it. Not one leader discussed where we were headed. Not a one. They all said it was going to be okay. All I heard for the course of the campaign and was that everything was going to be all right because capitalism is the most wonderful economic system ever developed, because it was developed by God himself for us. There's nothing more splendid than capitalism. It is a beautiful garden, a garden that irrigates itself and fertilizes itself. And it needs no sunlight because it basks in the glory of its own reflection. There's nothing more wondrous than the garden that is capitalism. And if it is left entirely unregulated, that garden will grow and grow and grow until all of us share in its beautiful fruit. And so I went to bed every night dreaming about my beautiful fruit. And then I woke up one morning, and there was the Secretary of the Treasury standing behind the White House at the back door as if he was trying to get away.
Holy fuck! We're fucked, he said. We're completely fucked, son of a bitch. I don't know what happened to the garden, but it's a piece of shit now. Watch that hand coming up your ass. It's looking for quarters. Put straws in your nose. The river of shit is rising. Start pulling out your gold fillings and put them on eBay. I'm getting the fuck out of here. Then he ran around the White House three times with his hair on fire. And all I wondered was, what happened that night? I guess he was sitting in front of his computer, finishing his last online math course from Phoenix University. When he reached that eureka moment, son of a bitch, he cried, 60 isn't 40.
This week, my guest is Lewis Black. I'm Sonny Fox. Stark Raving Black, the new special, is going to be on Comedy Central. And the DVD and CD with bonuses. Does every DVD have to have a bonus now? Is that pretty much required?
Well, I mean, in a sense, it you know, because why else, you know, would you buy most of them? I mean, it was like HBO. I mean, because it's really, it's like, you know, there's all sorts of ways, download and all of that. So it makes sense to put extra stuff on it and, you know, and put a little more into it. The first HBO special I had, we didn't know there was no bonuses. And the second one, I said, "What? Do some bonus stuff, for crying out loud." And we did some stuff, and this time we got some more stuff.
When you, I know you're pretty busy, but if you have time to watch a DVD, do you really get into the bonus stuff, or how the director said this and how the movie was made?
No, I don't give a shit.
I can't understand the people that watch the movie, and then they go back and watch the movie and turn on the track where the director comments over the top of it.
Oh, yeah, I know. I don't understand that either. And I watched one. You know which one I do like, but I don't listen to the, but the bonus tracks are great because I like the movie so much, is the Doctor Strangelove.
Oh, yes.
Where they have interviews with some of the actors and they go over some stuff. And that I found interesting. And when we did Accepted, we did a thing with the director and we sat around.
Right.
Where we discuss the movie, and the whole time I'm going, who in the name of God is going to listen to us? Bullshit.
Somebody with nothing else to do, probably.
Really, you got to be almost narcoleptic to want to hear this stuff.
One of the people that didn't get out of the wheelchair that when they saw
yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you one mentioned Dr. Strangelove. It just made me flash. You must be a movie freak, but that's one of those movies that just never gets old. And I was thinking of another one. Let me guess, maybe I'm wrong, a movie I know you must love is Network. Right.
Oh yeah, I just saw it again. About 2 years ago, I saw it for the first time in forever, and it's astonishing how close it comes to. It was so ahead of its time.
Uh-huh.
It's beyond belief. And then they started talking about Clooney. George Clooney started talking about putting it on TV. You know, of coming up with another version. And I don't think there's another version you can come up with. This thing, it nailed it.
Yeah, but the fact of the matter, it nailed it before it actually happened. Is what's amazing.
Nailed
special.
It years before it
right.
happened.
And you know, Peter Finch, who got the Oscar, when he says, "I'm mad as hell," he's the only guy I've ever seen get as mad as you.
That's nice.
I mean, he gets really, really pissed. I mean, it's like when I watch you. It's like I'm looking at a man who really has something to get off his chest. I mean, it wasn't.
Yeah, I'd like to do a. I'd like to have been able. I'd like to have actually gone dueling with Peter Finch.
Well, you know something. If Clooney remakes the movie, ask him for the part of the anchor. You know,
well, I actually immediately called my agent, like the
really?
Psychotic. Yeah, I said, of course, I said I don't think they should do it, and then got on the phone and said, hey, if they're looking for somebody, tell Clooney I'm coming in.
Yeah, I'll do that chintzy remake anytime. Right?
You know, I can do it. And you know what other movie that doesn't get its due, but is just as... same kind of thing and way ahead of its time was Facing the Crowd.
Oh, that was...
Andy Griffith.
Oh, right.
Playing a character named Lonesome Rhodes who goes from being a drunk country criminal hick folk singer to becoming like a major spokesman for America. It's eerily weird how close it is to what's happening now.
Right, you're right.
Yeah, it's Keith Olbermann when he talks about Glenn Beck refers to him as Lonesome Rhodes, name of the character.
And at the end of the film, you're just hoping Andy Griffith takes a big fall.
Yeah,
a big fall because he's lost it. Anyway, now we're going to get to the cruise next time. We talk so much. Lewis Black is here. It's always a thrill to have him on the show.
I lean toward reincarnation, mainly because you get to come back, but it gets sticky. Because there's a karma thing, and you don't know. You may not come back as a human. I mean, I could close my eyes and open them, and now I'm a tick sucking the blood out of a St. Bernard's ear. Then I'm getting bigger and bigger, and then somebody takes a match. What kind of a fucking day is that? I'd really like to come back as a monkey. But yeah, any kind of monkey. Because I believe, in my heart of hearts, that monkeys are more evolved than we are. And I'd like to find out. They were so fucking smart, They didn't leave the jungle, did they? They didn't leave Funland. No, not like the rest of us idiots who go off into a concrete jungle that we create to work in an office with a group of dipshits that fucking give us eczema. And a boss who, like, pees in the wastebasket when he talks to us. Really, do you have to do that? But you can't say anything to that son of a bitch. You work your fucking ass off. Some of you even have two jobs. It's a fucking pain in the neck. But every so often, you get a little time off. Hey, you call your friends. Let's go out to dinner this weekend. Well, we can't eat at that restaurant because Stewie's now a vegan. Well, fuck him. Fuck Stewie and the vegan shit. I'm going to get him a loaded potato and shove it up his ass. If you're a monkey, you just have your pal turn around and you pick a whole fucking buffet out of his back. You spend the whole day shitting and masturbating. It's fucking heaven, I tell you. I fear I shared too much. I used to want to be cremated, and now I'm not so sure. As I get older, I like to hedge my bets. So I'm thinking maybe burial, because if my Christian friends are right, maybe that's why people get buried, because that's how the angels find you. Knock, knock, knock. You ready to go? Yeah. Uh-huh. If I'm cremated, fuck, I'm all over the place. The angels look at me and go, well, that's the hardest jigsaw puzzle I've ever fucking seen. It'll take an eternity to put him back together. Fuck it. People say, you know, if you live forever, your friends are gonna die. Well, I'll just have to get new friends.
This week we're talking to Lewis Black, and I'm Sonny Fox. Now, I saw you. Are you, or am I imagining, appearing on The Daily Show more often lately?
A little more often lately. I'll be on again July 5th, 6th. They've been off for a couple of weeks this month. So I'm back in July. And I think we'll be doing, it's been easier. I was around more, and that helped a bit.
Now,
so
I was shocked when you told me originally that you don't write any of that material, but like you said,
I did for a long time. And then this prick executive producer who was working on the show thought he was funnier than me.
Well, do you ever change anything or throw in a word or two?
Every so often I'll do it. But when I was with him, I did it. But, most of the time now, they're really good at what they do,
right?
And I'm in there now more than I used to be, working with them. But they really do most of the spine and stuff. And then I basically bark things out, and they go, "Oh, that'll work."
Yeah, right. Now let's talk about the cruise. We've been talking about it on the show for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's thank Lewis's, you again.
It's Lewis Black's comedy cruise. It's going to be cruising out by the Bahamas, Liberty of the Seas, which as a boat I've been on. Have you been on it before?
No.
Oh, let me tell you about this boat. I mean, not only is it unbelievable, it has an ice rink, it has a radio station, and the interior of the boat is one of those boats with a mall in the middle. When you walk down the middle, you're walking down a city street that is five stories high. The rooms on the inside would normally be the interior cabins, have windows looking out over the street. There are sidewalk cafes, full-size automobiles. I mean, it's unbelievable. You're going to love
it. That is unbelievable.
It is. As a matter of fact, it's so huge. They have so many elevators, and they go so high that you'll notice as the days go by, you know, when you're cruising, you forget what day of the week it is.
Yeah.
On the floor of the elevator, there's a carpet. And they change it every night at midnight to the day. It says Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday on the floor.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm serious. They remind you what day it is.
Oh, man.
You're going to love it. Now, tell us all about this cruise because it's exciting.
Well, I put together a good group of comics. It'll be interesting. It was an idea that They said to me, "Do you want to do this?" I said, "Yeah." It seemed like a good idea at the time. Now I've put me and a number of my comic. They really are their friends, but they're comics I really like. And I'm going to trap them on a boat and watch them snap. So I've got Kathleen Madigan and Dom Irrera and Susie Essman and John Panette and my opening act, John Bowman, Larry Wilmore, who also does The Daily Show. He's going to be on it. I may be forgetting a couple of people.
Yeah.
Mark Lynn Baker, who did Perfect Strangers, who's one of my oldest friends.
I didn't know Larry Wilmore did stand up.
Yeah, he does.
Well, Larry, if you don't know, Larry is the black correspondent on The Daily Show, and he has a great book called I'd Rather We Got Casinos.
Right. He's very funny. We've worked together now three or four times, and plus he was the exec producer of Bernie Mac's show.
Oh, really? Now,
yeah.
I get the impression, maybe I'm wrong, but judging by his character on The Daily Show, is his stand-up routine, is he subdued? Is he dry?
He's dry.
Yeah?
You know, he's dry and very funny, and, you know, you can use the word witty if you were gay enough. I don't mean to spook the audience.
Well, speaking of gay enough, there's also several discos on the ship too. You want to get down, all right?
And I am aging. I know that I'm aging because I turned 60 this year, and I'm not. Don't. No need to applaud. Seriously. When there's no reason to applaud when somebody gets older. The only reason somebody gets older is because of dumb fuck luck. It isn't like you were sitting out there going, gee, he's really in tremendous shape. I bet he's on a high fiber diet. And I'm not. I don't go near fiber. I had an oat muffin 10 years ago, and I'm still shitting because of it. But I turned 60, and it was not a happy moment because no one treats you as if you've grown old. Nobody. You tell people, God, you know, I'm 60, I'm a little depressed. Why? 60's not old. Fuck you! 60's old, you piece of shit! And how do I know that 60's old? Because when I was a kid, people who turned 60 were dropping like fucking flies. We had a neighbor woke up, had a little bit of cereal, went right over into the bowl. I said, what'd he die of? 60. Oh, I know that 60's old. I know that 60's old because I can't remember shit. My day goes like this. I wake up and I think, you know, I did something really, really important yesterday, and it absolutely had to be finished this morning because these people desperately fucking need to have it, whoever the fuck they are. Whatever the fuck it was I was doing yesterday fucking morning, son of a bitch. God damn it, what was I doing yesterday? Fucking A, you've got to be kidding me. I go to sleep and I wake up and it's gone. Now I'm wandering around my apartment looking for clues like Sherlock Holmes. I have to have left a note, a picture. Maybe there's a message on the phone. I can remember precisely what my Little League uniform looked like when I was 12 years old. And now I can't remember what happened 12 hours ago? You gotta be fucking kidding me. Just relax, Lewis. Lay down. And so I do. Yeah. If I just relax, I'm sure I'll think of it. 2 hours later, I get up from my nap and it's dinner time. Let's eat. Nobody called. How important could it be? Fuck them.
Lewis Black is with us this week. Back to the cruise. I got to tell you, when Kathleen Madigan was here a couple of weeks ago and she started talking about it, I went to her website. And she has a link on the front of her website. And I laughed out loud. I mean, this is an inside joke, but they have a picture of Lewis that looks like a picture originally done for The Daily Show. And they have superimposed a party hat on him and a noisemaker in his mouth and put his head through a lifesaver. This is the tackiest thing I've ever seen. It's great.
Oh, it's perfect.
It's perfect.
But it's a really great group of comics. And the fact is, for the price, I think pretty remarkable. If you like comedy, this is a steal because it's five major headliners plus four other you know great comics and plus Mark Lynn Baker, who was the star of Perfect Strangers and My Favorite Year, the movie, and he'll be on. Talking about his experiences and showing clips. And,
I was going to say, there's a lot more going on than just the performances. There's
exactly.
And then
we'll be having Q&As and Kathleen Madigan claims she'll be
calling bingo.
She'll be calling bingo like her lifelong ambition.
Yeah, I can hear the jokes now when she comes up with B9 and whatnot. Well, on the cruise, Don Marrera, Kathleen Madigan, John Panette, Susie Essman, John Bowman, Ted Alexandro, Larry Wilmore, and you're going to have a Midnight Nasty show?
That's what they put in. I think they're full of shit. I don't know what they're thinking. You know, it's
Lewis,
like
this is a cruise ship. They got a midnight buffet. Come on.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, guys. I'm going to be at the bar at midnight. So if you want to come to where the bar is, you can come see me be nasty.
And have you done cruises before, personally?
I played for Crystal Cruise. I did a cruise for them.
Now, let me ask you a question. Is it awkward sometimes when you're performing and you're stuck on the boat with the same people for a week? Do they come up to you more readily?
Well, with Crystal, I scared some of the people, so they gave me a wide berth. They were afraid of me.
But you can meet Lewis at the bar after the show.
And my parents really are going to be there.
Oh, really?
I'm serious. Yeah.
Will they be like standing in a certain area of the boat? You can come by and see them?
Well, if they're not in that area of the boat, I'll have cutouts. And there won't be any difference.
No, but there will be a difference. You're going to win an argument with the cutouts, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Lewis, thanks so much.
Hey, it was great, Sonny. Always a pleasure.
Okay. Lewis Black, my guest this week on the Foxcast. I'm Sonny Fox. Next week, another very interesting person I think you'll enjoy. So please join me. And thanks for listening.